Ibtida', and ibtida' is not like tabaa', for those who understand the Arabic language. Tabaa' is when you're following someone, and you're not really precise in how you're following them, but you're walking with them. Tabi'tuhu, I followed him. I'm tabi' of a person. I'm following them from behind them. But I'm not really checking which way they're going, just kind of just going in that general direction. Ittaba'a is on a different level. Ittaba'a means that I'm watching their footsteps. I'm going where their footsteps used to go. I'm walking the way they used to walk. I'm talking the way they used to talk. I'm doing everything the way they used to do. And that's what we call ittiba'a the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a person does that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises them two things. يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. That I will love you back. And then the second thing is that I will forgive all your sins. Every single one of them will be gone. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Because Allah does all forgiving, all merciful. You followed my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you don't think I'm going to love you back? And you don't think I'm going to forgive your sins? Of course I will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us these big things. And all it requires that we follow the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And it's not just the external sunnah. External sunnah are a part of it. For sure they're a part of it. That if a person likes to eat the same foods that the Prophet ﷺ used to eat, that a person likes to put the miswak next to his bed, the same way Nabi ﷺ used to put it there. Same way Anas radiallahu anhu said that when we made a dish of dubba, which, you know, like it could be a squash, it could be like, you know, a pumpkin, you know, Allah alam, like just in that gourd family, right? It's a gourd. And they have specific gourds. If people have been to the Arabian, you go to Saudiya, you'll see like they have certain gourds that they have within their communities, right? They grow these things. That's the gourd that the Prophet ﷺ eat. You know, mashallah, you know, I like that, the kaddu, mashallah, it's good stuff. Alhamdulillah. Right? It's not exactly. But it's fine. You know, we try our best to follow sunnah, right? It's in the gourd family, the dubba. Anas radiallahu anhu said, when Nabi ﷺ saw the dish come out, and again, they made like a stew or a curry of it. And so you could see that the Prophet ﷺ would put his hand within the dish, and that was from their adat, and he would search for the pieces of the dubba. He would search for the pieces of the gourd, and he would take it out and eat them. And Anas radiallahu anhu said, after that day, I made sure if there was a way I could make it in the meal, that I would add some of the dubba, the gourd in the meal, I would make sure it would happen. This is their love for the Prophet ﷺ. Externally, they used to have this love. They would do these things on the external basis. But what we really want to do is internalize who the Nabi ﷺ was. We want to internalize it. How was he as a father? How was he as a brother? How was he as a student? How was he as a teacher? How was he as a person who ran the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How was he as a person who used to work for the community? How was he as a husband at home? You know, how was he things like this and that? How was he everything alayhi salatu wasalam? We have the Nabi alayhi salam said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونَ هَوَاهُ طَبَعًا لِمَا جِدْتُ بِي. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that you are never going to be a true believer. You'll never be a true believer until all your desires, everything you want is completely in obedience to what I want. Nabi alayhi salam said, if you are tabi' to me, if you're following me, then everything will be exactly the way that I used to do these things. That you will try your best to do so. And that's what real iman is. That you love the Prophet ﷺ so much, that your heart is dying to meet him. That Nabi ﷺ said it so beautifully in the hadith. He said that there will be a people from my ummah, that not at this time, at the Sahaba radiallahu anhu's time, that they wish to meet me, but they cannot meet me yet. You know, they would give everything. They would give everything to meet me. They would sacrifice their money and their wealth and their families just so they can meet Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's what you and I want to inculcate. But before that happens, you and I need to adopt some of these sunan. These beautiful sunnahs of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We'll give you so many, there's so many things that we need to do. We need to fix our life. How was the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? At home, he was just an ordinary man. Aisha radiallahu anha said, she asked about, they asked her, said, what was Rasulullah doing at home? And this is something for you and I as husbands, that we really need to strive and work on these things. That we don't like to do any chores at home. We come home as the Badshah, we sit down on the chair, and we come back as the king, and we come and say that, look, I need the food to be here, the TV needs to be on at this time, and then everything needs to be silent for the next 45 minutes. Everyone needs to be quiet while I focus and make the tadabbur about my life, you know? Whatever. But what? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when they asked, how was he at home? It's like, he was like any other man. He would, if his shoes were messed up, he would fix them by himself, he would sew them and fix them. If there was some type of patch in his clothes he didn't do, he would patch it up. He would be cutting the meat at home. You know, one time the Adhan was calling, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was cutting meat at home. And he's like, Bilal, why is he calling Adhan now? I'm cutting the meat at home. He's right next to the masjid, right? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he's like, why is Bilal calling them? He's like, and then he called Bilal. He's like, Bilal, just wait 1 second. Let me finish, wash up my hands and everything. You know, make sure that the imam is ready, right? SubhanAllah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would be so jovial at home, so kind. And he would be so forgiving. Unbelievably forgiving. One time a plate broke in the house, and you can imagine how frustrated people get when the plate breaks. And then, you know, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, she was getting very frustrated. She got upset because it dropped, and that's no very normal reaction. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Woman, qadr illah, it's from the qadr of Allah. What could you do? Just let these things go. It's not worth it." He would, you know, and he would have such a normal relationship with the wife and the husband. They'd be so normal at home. And to the point that you'd see one hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, hadith Abu Dawud, where Aisha radiallahu anha becomes very upset, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was called to mediate. He's come called for surah, right? To help reconcile between the, between them. And she, he can hear from outside the house that Aisha radiallahu anha is yelling. And you and I can imagine, like, how could you? It's the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the same way they, the ulama say, the same way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human being, he also had human wives. It's the same. So they have these situations. No matter how much time you spend with someone, eventually something won't be in agreement. So she became a little loud. And, you know, she, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, although that's the father of Aisha radiallahu anhu, he asked her, he said, "Who do you want us? We can settle this. Let's get in a third party." And that's what we recommend. Sometimes you can't settle things between husband and wife. Just call in someone else. And they'll keep it amanatan. You don't need, no one needs to know that this happened, really. You know, we can just talk about it privately. So she says, "Bring my father." So she's still yelling and arguing. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu walks into the house. And he's like, "How dare you? You're yelling at the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And he's about to strike her. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ya Abu Bakr, I didn't call you for this. I did not call you for this." And then he says, we don't need you. You can go. You can go. If you're going to yell at her, you don't need to." And then when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leaves a little upset, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to Aisha, says, "Kayfa ra'aytini?" Right? "Didn't you see how I anqaztuki min ar-rajul? How I saved you from that man?" He's like, "Didn't you see how I did that?" And he makes her laugh. He makes her laugh, so they calm down. And then Abu Bakr, then after a couple of days, he comes back because he's embarrassed. He got upset in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Comes back a couple of days later, he has permission to come in. And he said that, "Adkhilani fi silmikuma kama adkhaltumani fi harbikuma." He said that, allow me to come in your peacetime, the same you allowed me to come in your wartime. This is the way they were, just so relaxed, so kind. And the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his entire life was just, he was just so moderate, you know, just so balanced as a human being, as an individual. They said that he was of medium stature, but whenever he was amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he looked like he was the tallest man. That people would say that Abu Bakr or Umar radiallahu anhu were taller than him. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would look taller just because he would be standing next to him alayhi salatu wasalam. He used to be so, you know, his body was so firm and strong, right? Ba'idu ma bayn al-mankibayn. They said that between his shoulder blades was like, he was very broad-shouldered alayhi salatu wasalam. His chest was very strong, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said that his forearms were very thick alayhi salatu wasalam. They said that they even described the way his feet used to be. That when he used to make wudu, they used to see that the water used to slide off his mubarak feet alayhi salatu wasalam. They used to describe him with so many things. And he used to talk about his stomach and his chest. They used to say that it used to be flat. Imam Ghazali brings the hadith in the Ihya, where he quotes from Bayhaqi, he makes throughout this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ had three ukan, right? And they translate ukan as like a fold on the stomach, right? Which is like what we consider, you know, I'm not gonna say it here because everyone's like, "You made up something." No, I'm not gonna, okay? But the point is that Nabi ﷺ was very strong. He was very strong. He used to be so strong that Abu Huraira used to say that when the Sahaba ﷺ used to be walking, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to walk, كَأَنَّهُ إِنْحَطَّ مِنْ صَبَبٍ, that he looked like he was walking down a hill. That's how fast he used to be, alayhi salatu wasalam. Abu Huraira said, "We were the fit Sahaba, men who went for Badr and Uhud and Khaybar and Khandaq and all these battles, but we could not keep up with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." And I just want to remind everyone that just, you know, we eat a lot in this day. We eat tons and tons. We eat tons and tons and tons. We eat so much. And we have to just remind ourselves that even if you can't reduce it, at least have this feeling in our heart and remind ourselves the reason why you and I are eating is because the blood, sweat and tears of this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he went through so much to make sure that the ummah could be okay. That he struggled and sacrificed. What was the struggle and sacrifice at home? That Aisha radiallahu anha would say that a fire would not be lit in the house of the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 2 months. For 2 months he wouldn't have anything cooked. There was nothing to cook, nothing to eat. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time would only be able to drink water and eat dates. That was the only food for the day. Then you come in front of Aisha radiallahu anha and say, "Oh Aisha, is there any food for today?" She would say, "There's no food for today, Ya Rasulullah." Allahu Akbar. She says, "There's no food for today." The Prophet said, "That's not a problem. I'm fasting today. No problem. I'll fast today." He'd break his fast on water and resume the fast the next day if he needed to on water. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he'd come back the next day and Aisha radiallahu anha, he would ask, "Ya Aisha, is there any food?" "Yes, there is food, Ya Rasulullah." So he would eat that day. Nabi alayhi salam, he would be so hungry sometimes that he would find that there was nothing on, you know, one time there was a rotten date on the ground. Been rotten for days. The Prophet is so hungry, he has nothing to eat. He will go and he would take that and put it in his mouth, alayhi salatu salam. He would struggle so much, but he would never ever make it seem to his sahaba that he was in need. You might wonder, with these sahaba who would give their life for the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, how could they let it that the Nabi alayhi salatu salam would be hungry? Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi would never tell them. He would never tell them how he was. He would hide it and conceal it. In the battle of Khandaq, when they were building the trench, they were digging out the trench, the sahaba them were tying stones to their stomachs because of the feeling of hunger, because they didn't have any food, because they were working for so long. And the Prophet, they came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they came in front of this huge boulder, and they couldn't break it. So they come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, Ya Rasulullah, help us out. You know, we're so hungry, we can't do it. We have these stones on our stomachs. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he lifts up his own jubba, his own thobe, and he shows that I have two stones on my stomach. He never let anyone struggle by themselves. He never make any excuse to say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do it. He did it. He did everything. He made sure that when the masjid was being built, he would lay down the stones too. If the sahaba were going out to battle, he would be battling too. Ali radiallahu anhu would say, we would be so scared on the battlefield sometimes. And we look for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not find him anywhere. And then we look around and we find that he's the closest one to the enemy. He'd be so brave and so bold and so mighty and so powerful. And so they used to say that when you teach your children, teach them the battles of Islam. Because that will give them the pride and honor of Islam. They'll feel the honor of Islam in their hearts. We don't even talk about seerah anymore. We don't even discuss seerah anymore. Our kids don't even know Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They don't know him unless we say his name. And that makes me feel bad, because the sahaba would never even mention the name of the Prophet. They would say, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Nabi Allah, Ya, in Allah that would even address him in the Quran is that. He would say, Ya Al-Muzammil, Ya Al-Mudassir. These titles are given to him. Because our children don't even know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anymore. Along with his courage and bravery, alayhi salatu salam, he was so kind and endearing. Such a person that they said, Ali radiallahu anhu narrates the hadith. He says that if you met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just suddenly, you would be shocked and put into awe because of how amazing he looked, alayhi salatu salam. But as soon as you mix with him, you start to love him more and more. Your muhabba would increase for alayhi salatu salam. They said that when you saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from a distance, that Imam Fikr, Mutawasil al-Ahzan, that if you saw him from a distance, he'd be completely in thought, he'd be completely thinking, and he would be, you know, one grief after another grief after another grief. He looked deeply distressed because he was concerned about his ummah. But when you met him in front of him, when you came to him, he would smile at you. The Prophet's sunnah was what? Before he went home, he made sure to do two things. Number one is that he would brush his teeth with a miswak. Because if you're going to meet the wife, you should have a good breath, mashallah. Right? And then the second thing is what? That he'd always be smiling. No matter how the day went, the Prophet would come into the house smiling. Because he never wanted any of the problems of the outside come into the house of the inside. He would always make sure that would happen, alayhi salatu wasalam. They used to mention about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to give bayan, so bold, so powerful, so mighty, that a'la sawtahu wa ihmarat aynahu, that his eyes used to become red, and his voice used to become so loud. The sahaba then described the voice of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like thunder, that it would feel like thunder came down, because of the power of his voice, alayhi salatu wasalam. That people would look at him and become Muslim. This sahabi named Abu Rafi' radiallahu anhu, if I remember his name correctly, he said that I was a non-Muslim, I was a mushrik. As soon as the first time I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I accepted Islam. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu said that as soon as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the city of Medina, I saw his face. I saw his face and I recognized that his face is not the face of a liar. And he accepted Islam there as well. People, they loved this man sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he loved them so much. He used to make jokes with people. He used to crack jokes with people. He used to be so nice and kind. They just appreciated him so much, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he'd be so tolerant and forbearing. So tolerant and forbearing. People would mistake and make mistakes and make mistakes. Anas radiallahu anhu said, I was the khadim of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. From age 10 to age 20, I served the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And you know that age has many mistakes in it. Kids are always making mistakes. And you and I know that we would discipline our kid and get really frustrated at them. But the Prophet alayhi salatu would do what for Anas radiallahu anhu? Anas radiallahu anhu said, he would never say, why did you do this? And he would never say, why didn't you do this? He would let everything go. One time Anas radiallahu anhu went out to do a chore for the Prophet alayhi salatu. Then he saw kids playing. So then he's a child. So he went to go play with the kids. And then he completely forgot that the Prophet sent him out. And so then he's like, he's playing, and then he walks back and he bumps into something. And then he turns around and he sees the Prophet there. And he's like, oh man, he sent me to do something, I didn't do it. And I'm dead meat now. And the Prophet is honest. Did you remember the thing I told you to do? He's like, oh yeah, Rasul, I'm going to do it now. He's like, okay, you can go. Go. He would never get upset. One time, one man comes in and urinates in the masjid. Ajeeb. You know, people need to think about these things. That we get frustrated for every small thing in the world. That the man comes and urinates in the masjid, he thinks it's the bathroom. And he comes and does it there. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu are looking at him. And they're like, oh man, he's going to be dead meat in like 2 seconds. They're about to take out the swords and finish the guy. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, da'uhu, leave him alone. Don't touch him. Let him finish. Let him finish. And then the Prophet says, call him here. He calls him and says, look, this is a place of ibadah. It's not a place for urine. Come on. And he tells him that, look, the bathroom's over there. You can go, you do your stuff over there. And then he says, go get a bucket and then just pour water on it and finish the job. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would tolerate so many things. One time Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was praying. And, you know, he just accepted Islam. And you can know that people who just accept Islam make tons of mistakes. It happens, right? So he goes, achoo, right? And he says, alhamdulillah, very loud. And now he says alhamdulillah. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhu are in salah, so they're trying to just make a shout out to him, so they slap their thighs. Like, Muawiyah, don't do that, you know? And he's not understanding, so he starts talking more in salah. So he starts to say, why are you telling me to stop? I'm not gonna stop. I'm gonna keep doing this. And then he's like, and he's getting really angry. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu are slapping their thighs even more, like, you gotta stop talking, we're in namaz, you know? And he doesn't realize, he doesn't recognize. And so finally when they finish the prayer, and Umar said, I was so angry, that the Prophet calls me. And after they finish the prayer, the Prophet says, Umar, come. He's like, look, in salah you're not supposed to talk. And he said, he treated me so kind and so nice, he's like, I completely forgot about my anger. That's how he was, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he had so much fikr, so much concern for his ummah. So much concern for his ummah. You know, he would say, Ya Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua in the Quran. Ya Allah, if they follow me, then they're from me. And if they disobey me, then Allah, you're Ghafoor Rahim. And you say, oh Allah, Isa alayhi salam made this dua, that if you punish them, they are your slaves. And if you forgive them, you are almighty and all-powerful. You can do whatever you want. And then, but he says, Ya Allah, but my dua is ummati ummati. I don't have these fancy duas that they had. I have ummati ummati, Ya Allah. And he starts to cry so much. So much so that Allah does send Jibreel alayhi salam down. And he says, oh Muhammad, Allah does heard your crying. He sent me to tell you, to ask you, why are you crying? He said, oh Jibreel, I'm worried about my ummah. I'm worried about my ummah. I'm worried about my ummah. I'm worried about my community, what's going to happen to them. And then Jibreel alayhi salam goes back to Allah. Allah says, oh Jibreel, come down with this message to my Muhammad alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam goes down with the message. And the message is what? That Allah will always keep you happy concerning your ummah. Allah will always keep you happy concerning your ummah. It's mentioned in Surah Yasin about this man, that he has so much concern for his community, that after he died, he still wondered about his community. That he's entering Jannah, and he's still saying, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun, bima ghafar li rabbi wa ja'alani min al-mukramin. That I wish my people would know what Allah will give you after you die, if you become a believer. And this is about a man, an ordinary man, not even a sahabi even, right? He's some tabi'i that just joined the community there. And so what happens is what? If this is a man, imagine a Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imagine what he is doing in his qabr, in his grave. It's a hadith al-Bazzar, authentic hadith al-Bazzar. The Nabi Alayhi Sallam receives the qabr and the information from the ummah. And if you don't even want to accept that, then accept the salawat of your salam and salat and salam that you send to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It goes by your name and your father's name to the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That an angel conveys it, that he takes it. Such an honor that you and I don't even deserve. But you and I, when we send the salat and salam, it goes to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with your name and your father's name. He remembers you. And you think he's not going to remember you on Qiyamah? He's not even around. Even in Hadith al-Bazzar says what? That I received the news of my ummah. And I see if they're doing good, I become happy. And if they're doing bad, I make istighfar for them. You know, and then Qiyamah, he doesn't even take rest, alayhi salatu wasalam. You and I need to make fikr and concern ourselves. That we've taken everyone else as a role model. You ask these kids, who do you want to be like? They'll say Kobe Bryant. Right, they'll say like LeBron, right? They'll make all these different names. Oh, I want to be like Bill Gates because he has so much money, and no one wants to be like Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reason being is because you and I don't even want to be like him. We're not making good role models as adults. You know, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were so concerned about how can they be like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jabir radiallahu anhu, I told you about. Anas radiallahu anhu, I told you about. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when he, you know, they asked him like, why don't you wear sandals that have hair on them, the straps? Because you know, everyone changed their style, you should change it. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, I don't want to change my sandals, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wore this type of sandals. I want to wear what he wore, alayhi salatu wasalam. When Ma'qil ibn Yasar's hadith ibn Majah, when Ma'qil ibn Yasar was eating with some of the leaders of non-Muslims, the Duhqan, he was still eating with them on a dastarkhan, on a sufra. And when he was eating a luqma, a piece fell onto the dastarkhan. And he goes and says, you know, he picks it up and he puts it in his mouth. And some of the people around him are like, don't do that. They'll make fun of you. They'll make fun of you because you're copying something that, you know, this looks very lowly to pick it up from the dastarkhan and put it in your mouth. He said, I'm not going to leave the sunnah for these a'ajim, for these non-Muslims. I'm not going to leave them for these non-Arabs. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us that if something falls under the sufra, you pick it up and eat it. This is the state that they were in. Now you and I need to reflect and consider and really make the tadabbur here. Really, really reflect. That you and I want to meet the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then someone invites us to a different celebration. And this celebration doesn't even have any sunnah in it. That has what? It's all khilaf of sunnah. That they're playing music. That they're even mixing with men and women. You have to ask yourself, wouldn't Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even step foot in that door? You have to ask yourself these questions. If I really want to meet the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what would I have to sacrifice? What would I have to give up? And am I really giving up something in reality? That you were to go against your entire family to make sure that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was happy with you. That on the Day of Judgment you can still drink from Ard al-Kawthar. And I make dua for myself. And I don't even say this myself. I'm not a good role model. And I make dua to Allah that makes me a good role model. But for our children to see that Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was an amazing person, then you and I need to start thinking, how can I change my life? I have to see it. They cannot just see that, oh, my father is going to these parties. My father is doing this. My father is doing that. Oh, and they come to me and say, Mawlana Sahib, I wanted to have a sunnah nikah. But my mom and dad wouldn't let me have a sunnah nikah. What can I say? What can I say? We have to consider for ourselves, who are we following? And who do we want to be resurrected with? Nabi alayhi salam reminds us and he says, the last point we'll make inshallah. Nabi alayhi salam says, that there will be a people from after my sahaba who love me so much, that they'll give everything to meet me. They give up their life, they give up their dress, they give up every one of their desires just to make sure they become like Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that He gives us the sunnah. The sunnah is there for you and I revive, we hold on to it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam promised us, he said, you get the reward of a shaheed. A single shaheed will get. Now practice 10 sunnahs that people don't do, you'll get 10 reward of 10 shuhada, inshallah. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah Ta'ala. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For those who make sunnah can do so, inshallah.